What is the soul? And does everybody have one? And if so, how did they get it? And if God decided to hand out these souls, to give these souls to individuals, then why didn't everybody get one? And can you actually sell your soul? And if you sell your soul, what does that mean? Are there specific terms that you sign on to once you sell your soul, if that is the case? Or can you even sell your soul? Now, here's what's interesting is this is probably one of the most fascinating questions that anybody can ask. And everybody should wonder these questions, in my opinion, if you don't already know the answer. And if you're not asking these questions, then you must feel pretty comfortable within your skin. And there's a lot of people out there that probably just feel confident enough that they don't need to ask these questions based upon their religious or spiritual beliefs. Or some people are atheist and they don't have those beliefs. I do want to give a huge shout out, and I want to thank our sponsors. I want to thank VirtualShield.com. VirtualShield.com is a VPN, virtual private network, that was designed from the ground up. They're offering specials for Leak Project listeners right now, less than $5 a month. You can keep your information safe from big data spies, surf the web anonymously. It works. It's easy to see how it works, and they're even offering a 30-day free trial. And you can even disable your microphone and your webcam from possible voyeuristic eyes and ears behind the scenes. Now, that is just a quick shameless plug. Thank you, Virtual Shield. Now let's get back to the good stuff. Oftentimes, when I ask questions in my mind, I will go on the internet, do research, and find texts, papers, anything that will collaborate or take away from the questions that I have. And oftentimes, when I ask questions about the metaphysical, about the spiritual, I will open up certain books, whether it be the Nag Hammadi scriptures, like, for example, right here, these are the Nag Hammadi scriptures, ancient Gnostic texts. I'll open up, here, let me show you this real quick here as well. This was a book that was given to me from Brady Shally. She's the gal that does the paintings and the art behind me. She's very, very talented. And it's interesting, certain people that were very powerful in previous times will oftentimes, their information will present themselves in front of me, or I will look up something in the Nag Hammadi or the Holy Bible or the Dead Sea Scrolls or the Keys of Solomon or some type of text or some type of book, and the information that I'm thinking about will pull up. It's like some people are really good at pulling tarot cards. Well, for me, it seems like when I am on certain paths of research, that information just abundantly starts to present itself in front of me, especially when I'm asking the right questions, because it's like the universe just puts it in front of me. So whether it's a combination of manifestation of my own thoughts combined with the universe, or it's the universe putting things in front of me, divine putting things in front of me to help me get to where I need to go, I don't know. I would say all of the above. But let's talk about the soul, because, and the reason I brought that up is because when I started asking today, you know, the soul, let's do a show on the soul. I'm thinking to myself, I want to do a podcast on the soul, the spirit, what it is, what it does, where it comes from, how long it lasts, etc. Is it timeless? Well, guess what? I pull out the Nag Hammadi scriptures, and then one of the first pages that I open up is called Authoritative Discourse. And this is, let me give you just a quick background on this scripture, because it talks about the soul. One of the first things it talks about is the soul. And I think that's pretty awesome. So Authoritative Discourse is a Coptic text based on the original Greek text. Now it has 13 pages in the Nag Hammadi Codex. It's quite well preserved. There are extensive there's pieces that are missing in the first four or five lines of the pages. The title is focused and found at the end of the text. We cannot know if the title was also mentioned at the beginning because of the missing pieces. Now, this title features two significant terms. Logos probably refers to a speech or a teaching given here in written form, and authentikos can be understood either as a speech of authority containing true statements, probably in opposition to other non-Gnostic teachings. So this is a very powerful text in scripture that will underline the Gnostic teachings and beliefs. Authoritative Discourse opens with a scene in which a fiancé... No, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. I need to get glasses and it's kind of dark in here. But okay, so there's a scene in which a fiancé, the spirit... Pardon me. The spirit secretly nourishes his bride. Oh, maybe it is his fiancé. The soul, psyche, who has fallen into the world, and he heals her wounded eyes with an ointment. Now, the food was the medicine that was constituted by the Logos. The healing accomplished by the spirit on the eyes of the psyche show that she is literally blind. So, the most intense passages of authoritative discourse concern the soul's prostitution, a theme common in the Nag Hammadi tractates, and especially the soul of the Codex too. So I'm going to go ahead and read this to you now. Fascinating indeed. And I'm going to read something out of Morals and Dogma. And Morals and Dogma, page 858. This was given to me by Brady Shally. Thank you. This is like the second edition. This is from the early 1900s. This specific copy, but Morals and Dogma was written in the 1800s. I'll double check on that. But I'm going to get to that here in a moment as well. So hope you're all having an awesome day today. The skies out here are nice and blue with the side of chemtrails. Got a little bit of chemis out there, but it's not bad out here in Grandma's garage. Authoritative discourse. The origin of the soul is from above. In heaven, in him, anyone appears. The hidden heavens appear, and before the invisible, ineffable worlds became visible. From these came the invisible soul of righteousness, one member with them, one body with them, one spirit with them. Whether she is coming down or is in the realm of fullness, she is not apart from them. But they see her, and she looks at them through the invisible word. The word is like food and medicine for the soul. Secretly, her bridegroom obtained the word. He held it to her mouth to make her eat it like food. He applied it to her eyes like medicine to make her see with her mind and perceive those who are kin to her and learn about her root, that she may be able to hold on to the branch from which she has come, receive what is hers, and renounce matter. Now remember, the Gnostics thought the mother of demons was the mother of matter, literally. And that's in one of these texts here in the Nag Hammadi. You should pick up a copy of this if you haven't already. Get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, probably even half-price books. The Nag Hammadi Scriptures, this one's edited by Marvin Meyer. These texts were heavily suppressed by institutions like the Vatican because they completely... A completely different mindset, spiritual approach, physical approach than the Christian Vatican canon. Let's just put it that way. So the origin of the soul, the word is like food for the soul, medicine for the soul. The soul is like a child among stepchildren. When a man marries a woman who already has children, the natural children of the man conceived from his semen call the children of the woman our siblings. Similarly, when the spiritual soul was cast into a body, it became a sibling to lust, hatred, and envy. That is, to material souls. So the body came from lust, and lust came from material substance. That is why the soul became a sibling to them. Yet, they are stepchildren, unable to inherit from the male, but they will inherit from their mother alone. When the soul wishes to inherit along with the stepchildren for the possession of the stepchildren and exalted passions, life's pleasures, hateful, jealousies, boastful expressions, foolish experiences, reproachful words. If a soul who is ignorant chooses a spirit of prostitution, he casts her out and throws her into a brothel. He has left her to corruption because she has abandoned modestly. Death and life are placed before everyone, and people choose for themselves which of these two they want. That soul will fall into drinking too much wine, in a corrupt manner. Wine corrupts the soul, forgets her siblings and her father, and sensual pleasures and sweet things deceive her. She has abandoned knowledge and has fallen into the life of an animal. A person devoid of sense lives like a beast, not knowing what one should say or should not say. The gentle child inherits with joy from the father, and the father rejoices over his child, because everyone praises the father on account of the child, and the child also looks for a way to duplicate what was received. The stepchildren, then there's something missing, some words missing. Their lust cannot mix with sobriety. If a lustful thought arises in a person who is a virgin, that person already has become contaminated. This sort of appetite cannot mix with moderation. This is like meat. This is like wheat mixed with chaff. The father establishes a contest in the world. We withdraw from the world. The world heals the soul's blindness. The soul finds shelter in her treasure house. We shall be consumed by man-eaters. Oh, this is interesting. We shall be consumed by man-eaters. Man-eaters will grab us and consume us, and they will enjoy themselves. And they will enjoy themselves like a fisherman who is casting a hook and line into the water. For a fisherman casts different kinds of bait into the water because each kind of fish has its own food. The fish smells like the food and swims after the fragrance of the food. But when it bites into the bait, the hook hidden within snares it and draws it up by force from the deep water. Nobody can catch the fish down in the deep water unless a fisherman finds a way to trap it. By tricking the fish with food, the fisherman has caught the fish on the hook. Then it talks about the adversary tries to poison us with food of this world. The devil lies in wait for food. The soul finally eats the food of life. The soul has a true shepherd. The rational soul learns about God and comes to rest. Wow. So now I want to talk about the morals and dogma here. And that's pretty powerful stuff. It's definitely very symbolic, very metaphorical, and being consumed by man-eaters. And then the adversary poisoning us with food of this world. It makes me think of many, in their mindset, this physical body that we're in, anything physical, even if you're thinking about something physical, is considered evil and contaminated in the mindset of this Gnostic text. Now, the morals and dogma here, as a matter, and this is page 858, as a matter far above our comprehension, and in the Hebrew Genesis, the words that are used to express the origin of things are of uncertain meaning, and with equal propriety, may be translated by the word generated, produced, made, or created. We need not dispute nor debate whether the soul or spirit of man be a ray that was emanated or flowed forth from the supreme intelligence, or whether the infinite power hath called each into existence from nothing by a mere exertion of its will, and endowed it with immortality and with intelligence like unto the divine intelligence. For in either case, it may be said that in man, the divine is united to the human. Of this union, the equilateral triangle inscribed within the square is a symbol. We see the soul, Plato said, as men see the statue of Glacius, recovered from the sea, wherein it had lain many years, which viewing it was not easy, if possible, to discern what its original nature was, its limbs having been partly broken and partly worn, and by defacement changed by the action of the waves and shells, weeds and pebbles adhering to it, so that it more resembled some strange monster than which it was when it left its divine source. Even so, he said, we see the soul deformed by innumerable things that have done it harm, have mutilated it and defaced it, but the mason who hath the royal secret can also with him argue from beholding its love of wisdom, its tendency towards association with what is divine and immortal, its larger aspirations, its struggles, though they may have ended in defeat, with impediments and enthrallments of the senses and the passions, that when it shall have been rescued from the material environments that now prove too strong for it, and be freed from the deforming and disfiguring that here adhere to it, it will again be seen in its true nature, and by degrees ascend by the mystical ladder of the spheres to its first home and place of origin. The royal secret of which you are prince, if you are a true adept, if knowledge seems to you advisable and philosophy is for you radiant with the divine beauty, is that which the Sohar terms the mystery of the balance. It is the secret of the universal equilibrium. Of the equilibrium in the deity between the infinite divine wisdom and the infinite divine power, from which result the stability of the universe, the unchangeableness of the divine law, and the principles of truth, justice, and right, which are a part of it, and the supreme obligation of the divine law upon all men as superior to all other law, and forming a part of all the laws of men and nations. So, gee, that doesn't seem very evil to me at all. It's funny how people will take one text or one paragraph from one page of over 800 pages in one book and come up with a million conclusions. Now, I haven't read this whole book yet. I will tell you that it's a very deep set of processes. Each time I open up this book, I come up with just a new mindset, new opportunities, new possibilities. There's like an 8.5 hour breakdown of morals and dogmas that you can listen to on YouTube, describing the book, Pike, in detail, and who he was and where he came from and his character. And it's much different than what a lot of these internet conspiracy sites say about him. Let's just put it that way. But I also find it fascinating reading through some of these Gnostic texts as well. I don't know if it's the translations or the mindset, but oftentimes it seems like it's missing the feminine counterpart. And it's praising the male, but it's not praising the female. Even Sophia is described as creating Earth without the counterpart of her husband. So like she made a mistake and then created these archons that are the imprisoners of us, are the wardens of us, according to these texts. Now the soul to me is part of this. I mean, I couldn't explain it in words, especially just this one podcast, and it will continue to grow, I'm sure. But the soul to me is that divine spark, that divine wisdom that God, the divine source, trusted you with and trusted you with and gave to you to create and to grow and to learn and to expand. And by doing that, so does God. And experience things through us as we experience things through God, the God mind. God can be everywhere or nowhere or anywhere. And at a higher vibrational level, when we get to that point, when we get to that God mind, I think we will have the same opportunities that God does. Now, in this physical meat suit, we are certainly not there at that level, and I still feel that there is a divine, a creator, a supreme. Yet I think that God might want us to experience that at some point. But when we get to that level, it will be so, like our mind will have to be so in tune. And any negativity that you think at that level could manifest as well. So I just the set of principles and the studies and the exercises and what you probably have to eat. Now, there's ways to meet your guardian angel as well. If you've read through some of these older teachings, the magic of Abramelin the mage, and there's these different ways to actually meet your guardian angel, but they take a long time. They're very methodical. You have to follow certain rules and thoughts, and you have to do specific things, and like really breaks it down to a science to get yourself to that level. It's a very long, detailed process. Now, there's been scholars that have attempted to rewrite that in a more modern fashion so that you can learn it quicker and get to that point quicker. And some people can talk to their guardian angel and meet their guardian angel without having to go through these practices because they're at that level. But to go through those exercises, you should look it up, the Magic of Abramelin the Mage. And it's I don't know how old the text is. It could be 700-800 years old and adopted text from previous eras as well. Let me look it up here real quick while I'm talking to you guys. Let's see if I can find it. The Magic, I think it's pronounced The Magic of Abram Melam. The Magic. And my, let's see here. Yeah, Abram Melam. The Book of the Sacred Magic of Abram Melam the Mage. You can pick it up on Amazon. The original, okay, this one's from S.L. McGregor Mathers, this one right here. You can pick this one up on eBay for like $13. But there's several translations and versions of how to reach your holy guardian angel. And I think it's fascinating. So thank you for being here. Much appreciated. Thank you for hitting the like button, the subscribe button. Thank you for supporting our sponsors, which our sponsors are awesome, by the way. You should definitely also check out getthetea.com. I've been taking these coral seas, and wow, love these things. Coral seas, I've been taking two a day. They're amazing. Getthetea.com. Be excellent to each other, and be the change you want to see. And what do you think the soul is, ladies and gentlemen? And do you think the soul is separate from spirit? We'll talk about that in another podcast. Franz Barden, one of the greatest hermeticists of all time, discusses the mind, the soul, the spirit, and how the soul actually has a time stamp on it, but the spirit does not. Incredible indeed.